It's The Current's Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today's Tuesday, December 4th. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade, and I'm going to bring you a story about a conversation that popped up on Twitter earlier today questioning the acceptable performance appearance based on gender.
Speaking of questioning, some people are questioning whether the Little Mermaid song Kiss the Girl is really the best choice for collegiate a cappella groups to be performing in 2018.
Ooh.
But first, a few headlines. The Cher Show, the new jukebox musical, has opened on Broadway, and it's already caused a social media kerfluffle.
I saw this, and it's just like the worst thing when you're a performer to see in the audience.
Kanye West and Kim Kardashian were among the opening night audience members on Monday, and the rapper got a pointed shout-out on Twitter during the production by Jared Spencer, the actor who plays Sonny Bono. He tweeted, "Hey, Kanye West, so cool that you're here at the Cher Show. If you look up from your cell phone, you'll see we're doing a show up here. It's opening night. Kind of a big deal for us. Thanks so much."
Well, and you have to imagine if Kanye West is at the show with Kim Kardashian, they're probably near the front row. And in a dark theater, that light screen brings a lot of attention towards it. Yeah, it's going to be obvious.
Kanye West tweeted a complimentary reply. He tweeted, "The dynamics of Cher and Sonny's relationship made Kim and I grab each other's hand and saying, 'I got you, babe. Please pardon my lack of etiquette. We have so much appreciation for the energy you guys put into making this masterpiece.'" A Motley Crue biopic called The Dirt has a release date, March 22nd, according to frontman Vince Neil.
So what is this going to be, X-rated?
Oh, it could be really, really X-rated. I've actually read the book that this is based on. So
have I, Jay. So have I.
So you know, There's the scene, for example, where Nikki Sixx dies for 2 minutes. Well, Vince Neil has shared his review. The band have now seen the movie for the first time. And Vince Neil says it's effing awesome. Speaking of Motley Crue, here's a story about Travis Scott, the rapper who was recently attacked on social media by Motley Crue drummer Tommy Lee because Scott had the temerity to also perform Upside Down on a roller coaster. He's now number one in the country with his single Sicko Mode, knocking Ariana Grande's Thank You Next out of the number one spot on the Billboard Hot 100. As Billboard itself notes, this sprawling song doesn't exactly sound like a pop smash. Sicko Mode has all these different sections. There's a Drake guest spot that ends very suddenly. Billboard writes, quote, "It says something both about Scott's influence as a trendsetter and about the currently freeform state of mainstream hip-hop at the moment that such an unconventional single could reach such pop omnipresence."
And it has something to do with how people are listening to music now as well, because there was a period of time when, you know, radio was the thing that everybody was listening to, and you had to keep your songs tight. They had to be 3 minutes, and that's all people wanted to play. And so, of course, that was the sort of music that people listened to. But now that you have all these choices to be able to listen to music however you want to, it makes sense that songs that are maybe a little bit quirkier or a little bit maybe harder to get into get a little bit more love.
Totally. And when the song does get played on hip-hop radio, often they'll be sort of mixing the music as they go, so they might play only a section of the song, so it doesn't seem so jarring or discordant. Well, Billboard says the closest thing to a precedent for this kind of a song at the top of the charts might be Paul McCartney in 1974, when he had that epic title track to Band on the Run.
Sun is down, freezing cold, that's how we already know. When it's here, my dog will probably do it for Louis Bell. That's just all he know, he
the Global Citizen Festival took place December 2nd. The festival, which this year was focused on commemorating the late Nelson Mandela's 100th birthday, ending poverty and hunger, increasing AIDS awareness and access to education and clean water, and raising money and concern for deeply impoverished areas of Africa. In fact, the only way to get tickets into the show is through charity work and petition signing. So this is just a great big feel-good event. Well, Beyonce headlined the show, and she stepped onto the stage in a series of outfits that paid tribute to various parts of Africa. It was very cool. I was checking out some of these truly amazing costumes online, and I noticed one picture from the festival was getting a lot more attention than the others. So this is a picture of Beyonce performing with Ed Sheeran. She is in this fluffy fuchsia confection. And Ed is wearing his typical jeans and t-shirt, kind of the just rolled out of bed look. And it started this conversation about what people's expectations are for female performers versus male performers, especially in that pop world. You know, not in the indie world where people wear whatever they like, the shows are a little bit less dramatic, but in the pop world, it seems to tend towards women wearing these wild costumes versus men who can wear anything on the spectrum, and it's okay.
Yeah, these are definitely two huge stars, two of music's hugest stars. Beyonce is absolutely at the height of celebrity, sells out stadiums, so does Ed Sheeran. And yet, her game is so high when it comes to her series of onstage outfits, and his game is just pretty much where it was the first time I saw him live. He was opening for Taylor Swift on her Red Tour and just sort of first coming to national prominence and international prominence because he had that duet with her on that Red album. And I remember he opened and he just kind of like looked like he might be her drug dealer.
Or like an audience member, which is sort of the charm, right? But could a female celebrity get to that echelon and put on these big stadium shows, but not wear something? Would people judge her? Whereas you can be Ed Sheeran and nobody blinks an eye. So it's one of those things where it was an ongoing conversation and people were feeling very intensely on either side of the spectrum. All I will say is Beyonce, as always, looked fantastic. But at the end of the day, it's all about the music. And Beyonce brought the entire crowd to their feet with a version of Halo in that same custom-made wonder. Pray you won't fade away. Halo won't fade away. Halo won't fade away.
Halo won't fade away. The Princeton Tiger Tones, an all-male a cappella group at the Ivy League University, have made headlines by removing the Little Mermaid song Kiss the Girl from their repertoire.
Kiss the girl, kiss her, yes, you want her, want her.
In a letter to Princeton's student paper, the group's president wrote that, quote, "We are removing Kiss the Girl from our active repertoire until we can arrive at a way to perform it that is comfortable and enjoyable for every member of the audience."
In the movie, the context of it is like two people who are falling in love and kind of want to kiss anyways. But is there a different sort of context in how they're performing it?
So there are a couple of levels to this story. Well, first of all, anything Ivy League, people gets all sorts of buzz and it's like, ooh, drama at Princeton, drama at Princeton. But so in this case, there was specifically an issue with the way the group was performing it. And for years, they've had this shtick where as they sing the song, they more or less randomly pick a woman and a man who probably don't even know each other out of the audience.
Oh, I can see where this is going. Yeah, that does sound sort of troublesome.
And they sort of like they sing the song and the couple are the newly formed couple are kind of supposed to dance together. And then at the end, they're urged to, well, kiss the girl. And, you know, there you can see videos online, like the woman might like lean over and like touch her cheek and maybe the guy like gives her a little peck or whatever. And everybody, you know, claps and what have you. But you can see where also you can be watching that or certainly be a part of it and not feel super comfortable about how that's playing out and what's being expected in front of this huge audience of these two people. Some students, though, are not just complaining about the style of performance. A sophomore woman wrote in a recently published op-ed in that same student paper, quote, "The premise of the song, originally sung in the Disney film The Little Mermaid, is that the male, Prince Eric, on a date with the beautiful female Ariel, should kiss her without asking for a single word to affirm her consent, despite the fact that an evil sea witch cursed Ariel's voice away, making verbal consent impossible. The song is clearly problematic from the get-go."
Yes, it's an adorable Disney movie, but also she can't speak the entire time. The entire relationship is a little questionable if you read into it a little bit too deeply. But why was this even a song that they picked to sing?
Why wouldn't you? If you're a college a cappella group, Disney, you know, you'd think it's feel good. No problem. We can do this, right? Well, you know, there are some issues you need to think about, and they are now thinking about. As the New York Times notes, this campus debate is unfolding at the same time as what's become an annual debate over the content of the holiday standard, Baby, It's Cold Outside. You might have seen in the headlines, a Cleveland radio station recently announced that it's removing the song from its playlist due to concerns about consent and the suggestive scenario. And a reimagined pro-consent version by Minneapolis singer-songwriters Lydia Liza and Josiah Lemansky is getting more plays and comments every year.
I really can't stay.
Maybe I'm fine with that.
I've got to go away.
Baby, I'm cool with that.
This evening has been
hoping you get home
so
safe.
Very nice. I'm
glad. The 1975 have a new video for their song, It's Not Living If It's Not With You. It's really less like a video than a 7.5-minute short film inspired by Talking Heads' classic concert movie, Stop Making Sense.
Yeah, and it's weird. I would never have thought that David Byrne and the lead singer of 1975 looked alike until this video.
They may look alike. Mattie Healy cannot move like David Byrne.
No.
But that's also kind of the point of the video. So in the video, Mattie Healy is kind of struggling to keep up with his bandmates and some supporting dancers and singers as they're trying to recreate some of those iconic sequences from the movie Stop Making Sense. And it's kind of the point that he can't quite keep up. A lot of fans are seeing this as a comment on Mattie Healy's recent struggles with addiction. Watch that video and read more about all these stories over at thecurrent.org. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade.
Our producer is Anna Wiggle. If you're enjoying the podcast, rate it, review it, wherever you get your podcasts, please, and thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow with more music news headlines.